Hello, everybody. Cal Banyan here, Cal Banyan's Hypnosis, etc. And I'm back with Erica Flint doing part two of a series on, using insight hypnosis. Hypnosis processes that generate insight and how that can cause you to have permanent, long-lasting effect on your clients and really almost instantaneously change the way that they perceive themselves, the world, and that changes behavior and feelings. Let me tell you about Erica Flint. Erica Flint, well, she is just about 1 year in the profession. She's heading up to the top of the heap. Look at her. She's giving back to the profession. She's just only been in it for 1 year. After graduating and getting certified, she then went and studied the Five Path 2.0 DVD set, took the exam, became certified as a five pather, and then just a few weeks ago went through the live class online, and got the Week of Power under her belt and is now being certified as an instructor for us. Now, her background is in the tech industry as a software engineer and problem solver, but she got bored with all that kind of stuff and decided it was time to work with the greatest micro maximum processor in the world, and that's the human mind. And gosh, I just think we're gonna see great things from her. I wish I was doing such great things in my first year. How you doing, Erica?
Hey, Cal. I'm doing great. Thank you. That was a very nice introduction. And yeah, I feel really fortunate and happy to be here with you today, talking with you. And part of the reason, of course, I'm here is because I, you know, have learned from you 18 years in the profession, right? That's amazing. And you are giving back all the time. So let me tell everybody a little bit about you, Cal. Cal is the hypnosis celebrity because of his fame in the profession, not just because of all the hundreds of training videos he's produced to date, 370 plus videos. He also gives back. So a lot of the training that Cal does, it's what would I would have wanted to know when I got started. And so that's where I got started taking Five Path. Now, Cal is the celebrity and authority because he's received almost every award and recognition in the profession. And his books have made him the authority on hypnosis and hypnotherapy. One of my favorite books that he's written and authored, The Secret Language of Feelings, is amazing. I give it to almost all my clients. And he's the person that people go to understand hypnosis that works. He's the trainer of some of the best in our profession, and he's still teaching, speaking, writing, and seeing private clients and making public appearances. I had a class with him a few weeks ago. It was amazing. I learned probably just as much in the second time I took this class as I did the first. That's how much information, wonderful information that you're going to use in your office with your clients as soon as you leave, okay? And he's had a profound impact on me and my practice. It's probably obvious because I've learned so much from him, and I've been able to take from the classroom to the office everything that I've learned from him. So thank you for that, Cal, very much.
Oh, thank you very much for the introduction. And wasn't it great in class watching me do time tunneling live and changing lives right there in front of everybody?
It was so impressive. You made it seem, and this is really the true mark of a professional, when you make it seem so easy, right? I mean, it just seems so easy the way you are so good at it. And then I'm able to go and do it with my clients too, right? And in moments, you're able to get insights out of people right in class there. And that's kind of what inspired me to do this episode, which is part two of the episode that we're doing on insight therapy, because I had insights in class with you, didn't I?
You sure did. I didn't want to put you on the spot.
Well, yeah. Well, it was a really profound moment for me having some insights. And so I understand what it's like for our clients to have these insights. So I wanted to encourage other hypnotists out there. If you're not doing insight-based therapy, you're missing out, right? Because if you're just doing direct suggestion, those changes are, you know, a couple days, maybe a week. You really got to be doing insight therapy. The changes are permanent.
All right, let's rock on. Let's do it.
So today we're gonna go into a little bit different aspect of insight therapy. We talked about it last week, so I won't go into all of the details like we did last time. So I want to get started on a case history. So I have a client. Okay, she comes in for weight loss, and now she tells me, first of all, because I have a question about this later, she says she always self-sabotages. She sabotages herself. So I'm going to ask you a question about that in just a minute, Cal. But first, let me continue. She does great for a while, and then she gets in her own way, all right? So during the age regression, the feeling that comes up is feeling unloved and inadequate. So kind of skipping over some things and getting right to the point, it turns out that she's the first child. Her mom has another baby. And all of a sudden, as a little girl, like 2 years old, now mom's not paying attention to her anymore, okay? Because there's a new baby in the house, right? So through the insight therapy using the informed child technique, the client realizes that, you know what? Her mom has always loved her. She just had a new baby, right? We can all understand that. But for her, it was so different because first of all, she realized that and then she felt it. So that was the difference. She might have known that, even thinking about it, that, oh yeah, you know, of course mom was busy with a baby. But when we do that insight therapy and we do the informed child technique and the client is there feeling it and reliving it all over again, they actually feel it. And that's what really makes a big difference using insight therapy. What do you think about that, Cal?
Well, you know, as you're talking about that, I'm thinking about the video that I show in class and is in the video set of me working with Michelle. It was a very similar kind of situation. And here's from the child's perspective that, you know, they were the center of the universe, or at least the center of the family. The little one comes along, the new little brother or little sister, and all of a sudden all the parental energy shifts over to them. And the child thinks, wow. All kinds of crazy stuff. You know, they might think I did something wrong, or they never did love me, or they don't love me, and if they don't take care of me, maybe I'm going to get lost or stolen or die, and all of that stuff is probably not true. And how do we know if it's true or not? Because grown-up has had a lifetime of experience with those parents and in that environment and in that family, and they can say with complete confidence and truthfulness what that child needs to hear to have the insights that are life-changing, right?
That's right. And the reason I wanted to point out this story in particular is because I want to highlight that, you know what, the insight, the story, the ISE, the initial sensitizing event that we find, it's not always this huge monumental thing in somebody's life, is it, Cal? Sometimes it's a very simple moment in their life.
Well, the thing is, yeah, it's not this, always has to be this huge thing. It's just something that shifts how they think. And when they shift how they think, it changes how you feel. You know, I'll sometimes talk about X happens, that leads to giving meaning to it. So something happens, you give meaning to it, that's what you think or believe, and then that creates an emotion and then a feeling. And the emotions and feelings drive behavior, and the behavior is either habitual or it is responsive. And most of the stuff that clients come to us to see are these automatic, habitual feelings and behaviors that we can get them out of that cycle with some insight. Cool, keep going.
All right, so now I want to ask you a question about this comment that the client makes about self-sabotaging. And, you know, it's kind of a side topic, I guess, but it's been coming up a lot for me. People will comment that they are self-sabotaging. What do you think about that? Should we even consider that, or what should we make note of as the hypnotherapist when our clients tell us that they're self-sabotaging?
Okay, so I don't believe our clients self-sabotage. I think that is what they think, and it's kind of an ad hoc thing. So what I'm saying is, you know, the mind is programmed to move towards pleasure and success and you know, getting needs filled. But what's happening is they're doing something or they're feeling some emotion that is getting in the way. You see, saboteurs, their mission is to mess things up. Sabotage always has the intent of hurting the situation. If you're going to sabotage a project, your intent is to mess up the project and to hurt those people associated with the project or the company or whatever. We don't really self-sabotage. We don't have the intent to hurt ourselves. That's just not the way human beings are wired. But what will happen is we'll have some program that is messing things up. That's not the intent, it is. And then we label it self-sabotaging. Really what's going on is we're behaving as if we were self-sabotaging, but what we really have is just this program that's running, this feeling that's caught inside of us, or this habit that's caught inside of us, or this belief that's caught inside of us at the subconscious level that's kind of throwing a wrench in the works. But a saboteur purposefully puts that in. Now, what's the difference? What's the big deal? Well, the big deal is intent. If you are purposefully hurting yourself, then that, if that's what you believe, well, then you could be angry at yourself. But if you realize that you're not trying to hurt yourself, it's just this habit, it removes the self, you know, a loathing or self-hatred or the anger at the self instantly through insight. You see that?
That's a really good point, Cal. And it makes me think of how our minds constantly are trying to make sense of things, right? So if we can't understand why we would be behaving and it appears as though we're self-sabotaging, our minds will label it as something in order to kind of make some sense out of the things that are going on in our life, right?
Exactly. The conscious mind does not like not being able to make sense of things, because if things don't make sense, then you're not really able to respond in a way that can satisfy your needs, wants, and desires, like for simple safety and security. So if you're thinking that things don't make sense, I can't respond, and this all happens so fast at the subconscious level, as that I can't make sense of what's happening, so I don't know how to respond, and if I don't know how to respond, then something bad could happen, and that generates the emotion of fear. But we would much rather come up with some theory about what's going on so that we can at least have some idea of how to respond. So we have some feeling of control and security in the situation. Got it?
Yep. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And so I want to ask you another question here. Another thing that tends to come up that I've noticed when we're dealing with insight therapy, which of course, you know, and we're trying to do that all the time, right? In every session, I think, is that sometimes, and insight therapy really does, it enables change to take place quicker and easier than most people realize. And this is where I'm going with this, because sometimes clients don't think that it can, you know, they're like, can't be that easy. That's way too easy for me to make this huge change in my life that I've been suffering from for 30 years. There is no way that I could come in here in your office for 1.5 hours and that's it. So I just wanted to get your thoughts on how do we ensure that the client understands that this insight is really different than anything they've ever done before. And it's so impactful. And that's why, and maybe even it seems easy, but it's really not. It's just a really important way to go about doing things, right?
Now, are you talking about after the session they've had the insight, or are you talking about before?
I'm talking about after the session. So, for example, I have a client, you know, they come in, they've been suffering for something for decades, right? And they're feeling better. And they come back in and they share with me that they can't believe that the change happened that quickly, that easily. So they're almost questioning that it was that easy, that it could, anything that took them for, you know, that was 40 years of their life could be helped in an hour and a half using insight therapy.
Right. Yeah, I've seen this and it's almost humorous. And that is, I've had people come in with severe fear problems, like fear of flying or severe problems with substance abuse issues and this kind of thing. And then we go through the process. And after, you know, even the very first insight work we start doing, they start feeling this huge shift. And certainly by the time we're through with Five Path, you know, it's a thing of the past that you'll actually have clients, because the mind, it, like I just said, it wants to come up with a reason. And it just doesn't seem reasonable that after, you know, decades sometimes of dealing with this problem, and maybe even incarceration, maybe even institutionalization, that all of a sudden they could be free of it. And they will actually begin to deny that the problem was ever that bad in the first place, because that's how the rational mind tries to make sense of it. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And that has happened to me too, where clients assume that, oh, it must not have been all that bad at all because it was too easy to fix it. There, it must be harder. It must take more time. It must take more effort.
Yep, exactly.
Right.
Good. Yep, yep. What else you got for me?
Well, so then after they have this insight, and you talked about it on the last episode. So they have the insight, and then you have the questions. All right. So you ask your client to put an ending on the sentence. I've changed because now I know, and I've changed because now I feel. And so my question for you is, sometimes you have to help your client have the insight and connect the dots. So I was hoping that you could share something about that. When you have a client who isn't quite as, they're not getting it quite as quickly, maybe they're tired, maybe they, you know, who knows what the situation is, but you as a therapist are seeing the insight sooner than your client is. So can you share some help, how we can help our clients see the insight and connect those dots?
Right. Well, again, we'll take age regression as an example. So we've gone through into the past, uncovered the subsequent sensitizing events and the ISE, and we're back there and we're seeing that the child has made some errors, but the adult aspect is really having trouble verbalizing or putting together what the insight is for the child. And I'll just say, grown up, let me ask him, how does this fit? Does this fit? Okay? And I ask them in that kind of questioning way, you know, and they say, well, yeah, that does fit. Okay, well, and how about this? So I'll just say, what do you think of this idea? So it's stuff that looks like what they should have gotten out of it that I'm getting from my kind of objective view of what I've seen. And the client will usually go along with that, but sometimes they'll go, well, that's not exactly it. And I said, well, what exactly does that child need to know? So some coaching, running some ideas by them. This is especially done when I'm working with children, because, you know, we work with adults. You've got the adult to go back and inform the child. But if I'm working with an 8, 9, 10-year-old child, they don't have the degree of insight. So when I've got for lack of a better word, the adult aspect of that client, which is actually just 10 years old, needing to talk to the 3, 4, 5-year-old child that's experiencing the ISE, I'll just say, 10, how does this fit? Does this fit? Does this sound good? Would this have been helpful if you knew this back then? And we'll work it out and come up with what the agreed upon message or insight is. And then I'll just simply say, would you like to tell 5, referring to the 5-year-old aspect of themselves, or do you want me to do it? Okay, and if they're verbal enough, then they'll do it, and I can continue to coach that. Or someone say, okay, you do it. And I go blah blah blah, and I'll tell the regressed aspect that's about to go through the ISE, whatever the insight is that we agreed upon, and then I'll get it validated. And I'll say, okay, Tan, is there anything you want to add to that, or have I got it all? So that the older aspect of the client, whatever it is, 10 or adult, is able to validate what I said. Because once they do that, they've accepted it. You see what I mean?
Right, yeah, and I like how you are using kind of an inquiry form to help coach them along to get them to, make that, connect those dots themselves. And like you said, at times it's not always exactly right, but if it's not, then it helps them to think about, okay, well, not exactly, but this way, right? And so that really helps. And then after that, Cal, we use, and you've talked about this before, the segue. Right now that you've had these insights, you're going to be able to accept these suggestions more powerfully than ever before, more permanently than ever before. And then we're able to tie in the insights using the segue to the benefits and the suggestions, the benefits of why they came in to see you in the first place. So you're able to tie it all up so that when they leave, they're feeling like, wow, I had this amazing insight today. And because of that amazing insight, I'm just going to get everything that I came in here for.
And you know what, Erica? Doing that kind of work is not really work. You don't get tired. You don't get exhausted when you're doing that kind of stuff. It's so invigorating to be a part of it. All right, please wrap it up. We're out of time.
I get inspired by my clients every day. That's why I really wanted to share this topic with you, Cal, and bring this to everyone. And just I hope people can tell that this is something that I really feel passionate about. And I love doing this work exactly like you said, Cal, because it's very inspirational helping people through this process using insight therapy.
We do a great job. Okay, thank you, Erica. Hey, and everybody, I want to see you at the National Guild of Hypnotists Convention. Erica is going to be speaking, and Brenda's going to be speaking, and Celeste, all of our previous co-hosts, so all those ladies, the hypno ladies, are going to be speaking at the convention. I'm going to be speaking on a couple of topics. One of them is the universal script, and the other is a two-day certification course post-convention so that you can get certified and really get some of the inside scoop. There's only so much we can get into a podcast. That's always kind of like the tip of the iceberg, but I hope I keep you interested and excited about this very interesting and exciting profession. Okay, that's it. Cal Banyan, signing off.
This recording is the property of Cal Banyan and the Banyan Hypnosis Center for Training and Services, Incorporated. All rights reserved, for private use only, may not be duplicated without permission. For contact information, go to www.hypnosiscenter.com.